Again, just so grateful and delighted to be with you and sharing value. Oh, here we are wrapping up a year, and it's so exciting. We've been dedicating ourselves week in and week out to moving our lives ahead. Key information, important things, sharing some fun. As you know, I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to naturally, easily experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least, very least intrusion into their lives. You're busy, I know it. And why do we want all this? So we can enjoy a global loving community. Well, we've set our goals high, and we're bringing you another important, important message, because here we are wrapping up this year and getting ready to go into 2008. And it's at a time of great opportunity, and with the yin and yang, the opportunity is so great, and at the same time, there is so much potential to notice turmoil and chaos and just the natural complement. So we have a wonderful guest today, Dr. John J. Harper, who is going to bring his background, which is a blend of two worlds at least, into our presence. He's a retired electronics engineer, a computer specialist, and is also a clinical mental health counselor, and has worked with the Department of Defense. And his former schooling is in electronics, psychology, health sciences, and he's worked at such diverse top-secret facilities. So, I mean, we're talking right in the heart of the whole government military scene. Army Space and Missile Defense Command in Huntsville, Alabama, and the Naval Weapons Center, China Lake, California. Well, today, as he's retired from that, he's a researcher, writer, public speaker, and editor-in-chief of Reality Press in California. And his focus is now on understanding the earth changes that we see manifesting at this time, which are impacting climate, impacting civilization, our consciousness, our relationships, and all of this in what he refers to as Solar Cycle 24. So for those of us that are not familiar with that, we're going to probably find out about that today too. And of course, the main purpose of all his work is to help us to connect powerfully to the resources that are going to help us move gracefully through this. So what a time at the end of this year to bring forth these wonderful, wonderful resources. And I want to just thank you, John, for joining us today, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, and what a marvelous introduction. I'm very pleased to be with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Now, I've had a chance to peruse the wonderful book. I went onto your website at johnjharper.com, J-O-H-N-J-A-Y-H-A-R-P-E-R, kind of how you'd think it would be, and there was downloaded, and I got to say, This was the best $4.95 I've ever invested in. I got a 300-page book chock full of amazing information that has got to be years and years and years of research. So I want to thank you, and I don't know if you can share a little bit about, you know, because you have a military background, electronics engineer, and now you're writing this amazing book. Can you give us a little bit of how you got there and a little overview of it, please?
I'd be glad to do that for our audience. I was a very conventional left-brain scientist up until June of 1988. That particular point in time pretty much changed my entire model of reality overnight. I had a very close friend of mine. His name was George Vigay. He was from Plaquemine, Louisiana. And George and I met in 1969 serving as active duty soldiers at the Army Missile Command in Huntsville, Alabama. Well, we went through our European tour of duty in electronics and computer science and missiles in Nuremberg, Germany, then came back to Huntsville, Alabama, and pursued our scientific training, he in optics physics ultimately, me beginning in electrical engineering, then going more towards the psychology field. But about November of 1987, he died suddenly of a massive heart attack, and this changed my sense of reality overnight. I went into a very steep grieving phase that I had not really experienced before. I had not lost anyone close to me up until that time. So that really was the beginning of what I would say a dark night of the soul phase for me. I asked for a transfer from Huntsville, Alabama, with the Department of Defense to the Seattle area, received one almost immediately, and that was somewhat of a miracle. And I moved my wife and three children at that time to a little town called Silverdale, Washington, which is a place that I grew up before I entered the military. And then in June of 1988, some 6-7 months after my friend George had died suddenly, I saw him early one morning standing at the foot of my bed.
Wow.
And he spoke to me both symbolically by the way he was dressed and also telepathically, and the basic message was, I'm fine, and that was, you know, obvious by his appearance and his smile on his face.
Yeah.
And what he was conveying to me real simply was that death does not exist, that death is a transformation into another realm of existence. And specifically, though, how I started to write my book and why the title, Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, was because ultimately, Ken, I came back to realize that the ancients, the old wise ones, the medicine men, the shamans of every native culture had told us this, including someone from my area in Seattle, Chief Seattle, who said, there is no death, only a change of worlds. So, given that as the background, that's how I started to investigate trance, because I knew that my consciousness had altered dramatically when I encountered my friend. I had shifted, as we would say in physics, I had a phase shift of energy from the normal reality that we see with our two eyes, and this other realm opened through my third eye, through this inner pineal pituitary gland complex that we in the West need to investigate further.
Yes. Well, that is highly prized as a part of spiritual evolution in many different disciplines, to be able to open this third eye that is between our other two eyes and kind of at our brow point, if I understand correctly.
Yes, exactly. And that's, of course, known as the chakras as well, these spinning wheels of energy that go from the base of the spine all the way to the top of the crown of the head. And, of course, I knew nothing about that at that time back in the 1980s. And as I started researching what had happened to me and trying to correlate that with science, I realized it was about an energy shift. That then led me into understanding our relationship to what's now called the zero-point field, and which is the source of all energy, all consciousness, all mind, if you will, is embedded within the zero-point field. And folks like Lynn McTaggart now in London, England, who wrote the wonderful book, The Field, has really tapped the mother lode, if you will, in terms of knowledge about how this is going to impact everything in our lives in the future. We're actually growing into the zero-point field.
Wow. So here we are. This sounds so important in terms of being able to deal with some of the external environment around us, which all you have to do is, if you're deficient in turmoil, just pick up a newspaper, turn on the television, and watch the news. There's conflict up the wazoo.
Yeah.
You'd think that no one was hugging and kissing. With all this conflict, I'm surprised we have a population problem. Who has time to make love with all this fighting?
Yes, exactly. And the chaos that we're seeing now, of course, is only the precursor to a much larger set of worldwide events that are going to impact us at every level of reality, from the climate to the economy to medicine to politics to the way that we use our money. And it's all going to be, in one way or another, connected to how we use our energy.
Okay.
So we have an energy crisis, in terms of oil products, because that is not the ultimate energy source. The energy source is the zero-point field that the Earth, the solar system, the entire universe is embedded within. We are in the zero-point field right now, and we tap that through our mind-body system, and our spiritual energy, you might say, is the zero-point field.
Okay, so it's interesting that we talk about here's an external energy crisis, and then there's an offering to connect to, if I'm understanding correctly, an infinite energy supply within us where there would never be an energy crisis.
That's right. And, of course, most of us, if we have read anything in metaphysics, we might call this zero-point field the source, and that would be correct as well. There's many names for this energy. Whether or not we understand it in this new way is not all that important. The important idea for me was that I feel with the zero-point energy more than I think with the zero-point energy. In other words, when we have our emotions, that's what's driving our behavior, of course. That's what's driving our relationships or lack thereof. That's what's driving our connectivity to prosperity or our lack thereof. In other words, if we present a chaotic energy signature to the world, the space that we're in, that we live and move and have our being, that's how the mirror image of reality will come back to us. Until we find that still point, that center point within us. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within us, and it is. That's the source of the zero-point energy, because we don't have to think our way into this new way of being. We have to feel our way into it. In other words, our sixth sense of intuition.
That's huge. I'm hearing that old saying, and I'm not sure if it's biblical or not, that be still and know that I am God.
Yes, the psalmist said that, be still and know God.
Okay.
That's right, in everything. That's right, and that would be what I classify in my book, Transformers Shamans of the 21st Century, as the great self. Our great self is the zero-point field of energy and consciousness and everything. And so this source of everything that we call God is really our greater self. So we're growing into our great self, the awareness of our great self. Jesus said again, the kingdom is within us. And also, if you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. One what? One level of energy, one level of consciousness. And what is consciousness? Consciousness is the awareness of being aware. And so once we sense the presence that we are embedded within our great self, this opens up a tremendous source of comfort and healing and well-being that we, I believe, are all seeking.
Oh, absolutely. And some of our listeners out there, I want to make sure that let everyone know the lines are open, because here we are wrapping up the year and have an opportunity out there to talk to Dr. Harper, who's got such a vast background and there to help us transform some of our consciousness to connect to our own magnificence. So in the midst of letting go of this year, moving into a next, which on the external looks fraught with change and uncertainty. So for those in the U.S., toll free 877-876-5227. Our friends in Canada, 888-815-9756. And outside of those two areas, call in on 530-876-3222. And you can share your opinions. You can ask questions that relate to your own life as you move into this new year, how to gain more consciousness or transform different aspects of your life. We welcome your calls. So John, help us a little bit. You've had a number of some pretty mystical experiences on your path, haven't you?
Yes. In fact, the early part of my life was one of actually denying these experiences as being important. One of the most profound experience I had as a child was when I was about 8 years old. I was born in Seattle, Washington, and raised about 30 miles south of there at the base of Mount Rainier, Washington. And I was in my grade school classroom, elementary school, in a little town called Pacific City. And I love it. I came from a town called the City of Peace, actually, Pacific. And I was in this classroom trying to pay attention to my teacher. And it was a beautiful spring day, and I glanced outside the window looking at the puffy white cloud that was floating over the top of Mount Rainier at that time, this beautiful spring day. And suddenly, from somewhere deep within me, the thought came, what am I doing here again? Now, it wasn't even, you know, it wasn't a rhetorical or even a philosophical question. It was just a spontaneous outburst from somewhere deep within me. But suddenly, there was just stillness. I mean, everything kind of faded into the background, the teacher, the other students, the presence of where I was at, and a very still, crystal clear voice spoke to me and said, John, if not you, then someone else. And what I knew immediately that meant, Ken, was that it was a privilege to be here, that I was being given an opportunity to experience being a human being. But you know what? As soon as that came, I tried to bury that experience. I never shared it for years and years with anyone. But again, yes, that's one of the experiences I had as a young person. But I was raised in a farm community, so no one should think that somehow I was a bookworm. I was not. I don't think I really read anything of any spiritual nature until well into my 30s. And I think I was running from this knowledge that our great self is within us, you know, the kingdom is within us. I think I was running full throttle from this knowledge.
Well, I know lots of people, and they're connecting to that, if they don't know what to do with it, it's kind of like, well, let's distract ourselves. What, food, drug, sex, gambling, some television, some form of distraction to get away from that inner persistent calling that beckons to us.
Yes, in fact, I was just talking with a client of mine recently, and I said, you know, one of the greatest ways to induce anxiety in another human being is start telling them that they're of a divine nature and that they have the Christ within them. They will usually bolt for the door, you know, as quick as those words come out of my mouth. Not always, but usually, of course, you want to be more compassionate about that, and you understand how to deliver this message in a more mature way as you grow older. But I think that's the truth. I believe that psychology has been dancing all around these ideas. I think psychology and theology are really one discipline, but they're both trying to run away from each other. It's like science and spirit. You know, we're trying to disconnect from each other. That's not going to be the case in the future. We're going to take all these levels of knowledge and create this phenomenal way of relating to each other and to the world around us and within us.
Oh, wow. Talk about something to look forward to is having those safe zones. I mean, one of the areas, if people go on to advancedliving.com, my main website, and under the Contact Us and my bio, you'll see a picture of Bubbles. And Bubbles is a wonderfully happy baby. You see a picture of bubbles on the BBS Advanced Living Radio site. Well, what isn't on there is I've made bubbles a very important position in my company. Bubbles is the CSO, which stands for the Chief Spiritual Officer. And I don't know how many companies have a Chief Spiritual Officer, but mine does, so that I can be mindful that we won't enter this kingdom, we won't reach this glory that's being offered to us by spiritual teacher after spiritual teacher until they say we become as that child and are open to that place of feeling and innocence and discernment, because children are so profound. If someone, a stranger, comes to the door and the dog barks at him and the baby cries, you know not to trust them. Right?
Yes, that's right. And I'm the father of three adult children in their mid-30s,
yes,
and the grandfather of eight grandchildren. And I was just having a very profound experience with a three-year-old grandchild named Michaela within the last hour. And so, you know, at times like this, I do really realize how much wisdom is coming through them. And so I try to stop whatever I'm doing during the day when I'm in the presence of a grandchild and listen and feel my way into their world and look at everything through their eyes for a moment if I can, if I have that opportunity. And yes, you're right. That's absolutely it. We need, you know, the great thing, the kingdom of heaven is for the children. But there's a difference between being childlike and childish. And so even Apostle Paul said, you know, to put away the things of a child and become an adult. Well, this is, teaching is in all the great spiritual religions of the world. And I remember a quick story from Joseph Campbell, the mythologist, who talked about a tiger coming upon a cub, a little tiger cub in the jungle. And this cub had been raised by goats, and he didn't know that he was a tiger. And so the large male tiger that found the cub took him to a river and said, look into the river and tell me who you see. And the little fella said, I see a goat. And the male tiger said, no, you're a tiger, you're just like me. So they were trotting off to find something to eat, and the little fella said he's hungry, he was going to eat, and so he started chewing on leaves, and the big tiger goes, no, you're a tiger. So he hunted down a piece of meat, a gazelle. He said, here, eat this. And the little guy gagged. And Joseph Campbell said the subtitle is, as all do on true doctrine.
Oh.
And so, in other words, he wasn't ready to eat meat. And so the truth has always been something that's hard to digest. And so the story goes on that the tiger finally introduces him to his true nature and says, you're not a vegetarian. A vegetarian is just someone who's afraid to go hunt dinner.
Oh, wow.
And so there's a deeper meaning here, though, than just the vegetarian idea, because a lot of us, and I'm almost a vegetarian these days, but what happens, this becomes a natural way to look at the world, and so it should come from a deep sense of your inner self growing and maturing into this idea that you no longer need the, quote, red meat of the world. What you need is the inner teachings of the Spirit, and let that nourish you and nurture you to this higher level of consciousness. And as a byproduct, you'll find that you don't want to eat the physical meat. And so anyway, I think that's a marvelous story, don't you, that Joseph Campbell shared there?
Absolutely. And it's so important, because here we are for many billions of people on the planet facing a great uncertainty, and for many of them, it's very traumatic. Just in, the existence has been traumatic, and so here we are reaching out to our listeners and calling upon some of your wisdom and experience as people are facing some challenges. I wonder what you might be able to share or to offer in terms of support or tools to make it easier to make this connection. We know the first commandment, and I'm guessing that they put them in order for some reason, was, I'm the Lord thy God, put no other gods, put nothing else before me. So connect to source, and as Christ said, it's the Father within that doeth the works. And then he went on to tell us that if we follow that advice and connect to the Father within, we can do miracles he did and greater. So most of us wouldn't need to do massive healings to improve our lives, just to step up a little bit on the faith. So what can you share?
Well, you know, one of the great insights that I received from studying science was this idea that is expressed in our sacred sites around the world, whether it's the pyramids of Giza, whether it's Stonehenge in England, or the pyramids in Central America. One of the great insights is that nature grows and matures in a spiral, that the Nautilus shell spiral, the logarithmic spiral, also known as the Fibonacci series in geometry, that is a great way of realizing that the spirit also comes and goes, rises and falls within us in a logarithmic spiral. Now, what does that mean? It means at the deepest level that God can become the source, both the alpha and the omega point in this spiral of creation. And we know it's like in the Milky Way spiral, that we're on the outer arms of one of the Milky Way galaxy star clusters. And so when you start at the top level, say from the center of the Milky Way, and realize that we're part of this natural organic cycle of consciousness descending down through the sun and through the planets and to the earth, to the core of the earth, we get this global sense, this even solar and galactic sense, that everything is as it should be, and what we need to do is wake up and look up, and also, in a metaphorical way, sense the presence of the divine spiraling through our central nervous system, realizing that we're connected to everything. Everything, everything comes through us, all the information, all the energy, all the love. And so it's there all the time, isn't it? All we have to do is tune into it.
And it's great, one, to know that it's there. We don't have to call for delivery service and have them bring it to our door. It's already inside the house. It's sitting where we're sitting. What can we do in the midst of a lot of distractions to help quiet the mind enough so that we can connect to this more easily?
One of the ways we can do that is through our breath. And one of the great yoga techniques that I use is to literally come up and gently push against one nostril and then breathe in to a count of, say, 10, slowly. Hold it for a count of 10, if you can, and then let that go for a count of 10. And then switch and put gentle pressure on the other nostril and do this again. Breathe in for 10, hold for 10, let go for 10. If you can only do it for 5 initially, do it, depending on your age, your lung capacity, and your state of health. But what you're doing, that spirit, that pneuma, that divine essence is coming into you and balancing all of your systems, all of the mind-body spiritual network systems are coming into this spiral presence of energy and love and consciousness, and that is the key. The breath, as the ancients knew, was the key to balancing your central nervous system. And when you balance your nervous system, in other words, your left and right brain hemispheres, there's a network of tissue called the corpus callosum at the top of the skull that balances this bridge that balances the left and the right hemisphere. And the way to do that is through the breath. And it's interesting to me, in the Catholic tradition, for example, the Pope, Pontifex Max, that was the supreme bridge builder. And so at every level we can see the symbols and the metaphors, even the cross itself, the up and down and the left and right aspects of the cross are all talking about balancing heaven and earth, energies from the earth and heaven and heavenly energies from the cosmos. And again, we remember Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the great goal, and it begins with each one of us balancing ourselves so we look at the world through the eyes of the Christ and become compassionate co-creators with God of a new reality.
Mm. Wow. Okay, so that basic ancient breath technique.
Yes, that is one of the really simple but very powerful way to also rid one of negative emotions. If you feel afraid, if you're suffering from an anxiety attack, a panic disorder, center yourself and begin this breath technique. It's very important. What you will find is that within just a matter of a few moments, you'll be able to center and feel into this new level of awareness. But here's the caveat, you might say, here's the asterisk at the end of the sentence. If we're having these types of emotional problems, realize that what we're trying to do with our defense mechanisms, which is what anxiety and panic is, it's saying you're feeling threatened and that you don't feel competent enough to deal with reality that you've been given at that moment. And so you run, as a two-year-old child, you run around in your mind and in your spirit looking for someone outside of you to help you. But the key is God is as close as your next breath. And so when you breathe in and center yourself in this consciousness, realizing that you are now tapping the consciousness of Christ. Remember the scripture, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Now, these are found in other religions as well, these sayings. And the important idea is to get away from the ego, this small sense of self, the ego being the organ of adaptation, as we say in psychology. This is your sense of reality is through your ego. There's nothing wrong with your ego except it's immature. And so you want to go to your superego, that is our great self. And so this idea, though, of breathing is going to become more and more important. I mean, look, Kenneth, in our world, we keep polluting the air as if we're not connected to it. We keep putting poison into the water and into our food supply as if we're not going to reap what we sow. Where do we reap what we sow first? In every single breath. In every breath we take, we're taking all of our environment into us that we have helped co-create. When we buy our products, they're manufactured, as I say, by weapons of mass manufacturing.
Oh. Yeah.
And those are way more dangerous. And now, again, I'm talking as a former DOD engineer and scientist. I am more afraid, so to speak, of weapons of mass manufacturing than I am of weapons of mass destruction. And the reason that is because I think we will come to our senses very soon now and realize that we have to put away these toys. They are too dangerous, and they're going to fall in the wrong hands at some point, and we're going to have to collectively say we have to find a way to disarm. And so I see this. This is my great hope, my optimism. This is what I sense will happen. And that does not mean, of course, that chaos, as you have said too, is on the front page of every newspaper, on the front line of every website, news website. But here's a key insight that I have that allows me to rest in peace at night, and that is that chaos, in its purest sense, mathematical sense, also known as complex dynamics theory, all chaos always leads to greater order. Always, always, always. If a system is in chaos, it is seeking a new level of order. That's true in weather, in the climate models that we use mathematically. That's true in systems engineering. When we look at a system that may, break down, we realize that at some point we will find a way to create a higher order within that system if we just, hang on and keep learning from nature. And that's the key, is to observe what nature is doing to heal itself.
Okay. Wow. Well, there's some great news. I was just thinking as you were saying that about when a baby, it goes from in the womb, a world where, of course, bad joke, they get womb service, where, it's all so well provided for them, and then have to leave that in what is, of course, considered a pretty tight squeeze. It's not like a grand opening.
And remember, the embryo, if we're going to use that organic model, which I love very much, begins with the embryo in the spiral, again, looking almost like our ear. If we look at our ear as the larger part of the embryo, then we can see that, you know, this is why, for example, acupuncture is used. The meridian points, the energy lines on our body, also map, have this one-to-one correspondence with a spiral of the embryo. So, and again, this is a holographic idea, the holes in the part and the parts in the whole. And that's another way of looking at the small self, our ego, and the great self, God. So the spiral, again, and this idea of movement, you know, movement up and down in levels of energy, and that being contained by our breath and coming in us and through us, that's so important to get those basic ideas down. That way you feel you're never alone. You're always connected to everyone and to everything through your breath. Remember, of course, you know, your embryo and your baby model here, you know, we come into this world with our first breath and we leave it with our last breath, don't we?
Yes.
So where are we going? We're going with the breath always. We are the breath. This idea is important because Rick Strassman, MD, who is a psychiatrist who did some wonderful series of experiments at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine, wrote a book called DMT, The Spirit Molecule, a couple years ago. That DMT, or dimethyltryptamine, is the same substance that is in our third eye, our pineal pituitary gland. The DMT levels that are made in our brain, in our blood, and our lungs is what gives us consciousness. And also, Dr. Strassman believes now, this is the molecule that, he calls it the spirit molecule, because he believes we come into this existence, into consciousness, into the embryo, the baby at birth, actually, with our first breath, this DMT molecule. In other words, it was like a liquid crystal, like DNA, and our spirit hitches a ride, so to speak, on that molecule. That's a marvelous idea. And because, you know, Francis Crick, who is the co-founder with Watson of the DNA model, the spiral, the double helix spiral again, coming into play of DNA, was also something that's a liquid crystal and we believe does not die now, but just crystallize. Once the body falls off, it goes right into the space that we're in and actually creates a new body, what the metaphysician would call the spiritual body, or the astral body. But I have personally interviewed folks who've had near-death experiences who have stood outside their physical body, for example, and seen this new body created from our old body, from the body we're in now. And so some of them say we come from energy that is immortal, and we return to energy that is immortal, and what we take with us is life experience.
Wow. That's huge. That's huge. Tying that all that into the breath. And did I understand that this chemical, did you say DMT?
Yes, DMT, dimethyltryptamine.
Okay, that's activated with the breath, or?
Yeah, actually what some of the research is showing, and the folks that underwent this, I present this material in my book, of course, and the idea is
where can we get this book, by the way?
Well, the best way actually is Amazon.com is fine, or BarnesandNoble.com is fine.
Okay.
But JohnJHarper.com, if you'll go there right now for two more days until the first of the year, I am undercutting the price at Amazon by 50%. If people will come in and order my book, I promise I will get it out as soon as I can. I am completely backlogged now with back orders. But I promise everyone that comes to me through my website will be treated as first-class customers, and I think within 10 days or so I'll be able to get your book to you. Or you can order from the existing stock at Amazon or Barnes & Noble and have it in, say, 3 days or so. So there's an option for folks. But you will pay twice the price that I charge at my website.
Oh, okay. So you get a big savings.
Big, just for the time being. I did this for the month of December only,
okay,
and as a promotion opportunity. But the point is that what we're talking about here is this idea that that all of space is alive and conscious. Francis Crick said that he had a theory called panspermia. He believed that DNA itself came from deep space. I think we're going to have to really, and the ancients, the Indians, the Hindus, they had this idea too, and the Upanishads and other sacred scriptures. I'm thinking of the Native American shaman Black Elk. He also, in his own way, said the same thing, that he could see into the space around us and that his ancestors were there. Just think of the Aboriginals in Australia and the idea of the universal dream time and so on and so forth. We can go on and on about this, but we have to realize that we're in a space that we really don't understand, that we're walking through what we call empty space, and it is as far from being empty as it can be. It is full of cosmic radiation, earth radiation, and what we see with our physical eyes and sense with our five senses is just a really damped down and dumb version of this greater zero point field. And so what we're doing is growing. Again, we're like the embryos in the space that's growing us, because this energy is what we're interacting with and mismanaging so often. And the reason we create this chaos in our climate and everything is because we keep defecating in our nest, if you will. You know, we really need to wise up. And that's coming. That'll be here very soon now. This new way of looking at things are rapidly coming upon us from every level, both the scientific and the spiritual community. And it's coming through people who are having experiences. And this is what's going to happen. The third eye is going to open up now more and more as we get closer to 2012, because we can get into that some other, maybe another show. But 2012 is very important, not because it's some fixed date. It's because it's a very valid way of looking at the spiral, the logarithmic growth cycle of consciousness itself. This is what the Mayans and the Egyptians and other shamanic cultures knew about, that what goes around comes around, and it does it on a regular basis based on the precession of the equinoxes, the 26,000-year cycle of the equinoxes. And it has to do with Venus, the planet Venus, between June 2004 and June 2012. It has to do with the solar cycle 24 that you briefly introduced us to, Ken, at the beginning of the program. Solar cycle 24 is what NASA says is going to give us some of the largest solar flares in the last 500 years minimum. And solar flares are tied to a lot of very positive transformations in the human being, but also a lot of chaos in terms of crisis in well-being. It triggers some very profound changes in dimethyltryptamine, and again, Rick Strassman, MD, has looked at this himself and thinks that the transformation in consciousness that's coming, he believes, will be triggered either by a solar flare, the galactic alignment in 2012 with the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and perhaps even such a thing as the bird flu pandemic, where this new molecule, this DMT molecule, could actually hitch a ride on the consciousness and be spread through, you know, all of us. And unfortunately, like I said, the downside is that many of us will not be able to, be able to survive physically that pandemic. But these are all ideas that are being looked at, and so, you know, it's there. We need to, use discernment. We don't have to be afraid of this. We need to understand that this is coming, and that we need to look at it in that way and realize that we're in a tremendous living being. This whole universe is alive and well, and whether we're on this side of it or on that side of the veil, so to speak, you know, that's the way it is. That's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing here that you're offering some support on your website. There's information about the bird flu report. There's an interesting personality, a Kabbalistic personality test. There's some things that, because that's very ancient scripture on spiritual growth. So it's good to see. I know on my website, Advanced Living, through a dear friend, I connected to this super silver, a very advanced form of a colloidal silver, actually a nanotechnology that has been tested and is patented and can take care of many serious, serious things. And even though people are going to be told, you know, that they can't do anything or that they may get flu shots, but even those, the researchers are saying, aren't really adequate to handle the bird flu. But there are some of these things out there.
Yes, and not only that, let me kick this idea in there. One of the things I've done for my own children, grandchildren, and I've stocked this particular product up, and those need to look at it as well. Elderberry extract, which is made in Israel, in fact, interestingly enough, but I have found that to have some very good clinical data on elderberry extract. This also goes by a brand name, Sambucol, but Sambucol is a product that it's like a liquid cough syrup, but it's a elderberry extract, and it is clinically found to boost the immune system and provide some level, if not total, immunity to the H5N1 virus, the bird flu virus.
Ah.
In fact, it's the only thing that I'm aware of that makes that claim. I use it. I can tell you that it definitely will boost your immune system in terms of whether or not you get the flu or not. I've many times used it to ward off that type of event, even though I was surrounded with it. I did not catch that particular, virus du jour. So, but there's a lot of wonderful things. You're right. It sounds like you're really on top of some of these ideas, and I plan on going to your website and really doing some research there. It looks like you've got some wonderful products that maybe you and I talk about. Maybe I need to be promoting some of them as well.
Well, certainly we'll, be happy to, share some conversations, because I think our mutual goal for all the people whose lives we can touch is to help strengthen them with some accurate information and some things, because there's challenging times coming up. As we're on the verge of a massive consciousness breakthrough that has been yearned for. Every spiritual teacher, Christ, his simple teachings, love your neighbor as you would yourself. Well, I don't see where that meant go blow them up.
Right.
That's
yes, exactly.
Loving
and
your neighbor.
That's right, and we really have to capture the idea that what we do to the other, we do to ourselves, because there are no others.
Yeah, I mean, you can only cause so much stuff. You know, you throw the boomerang and it can kill some, but the boomerang comes back to you, and if you're not paying attention, it knocks you off too.
Well, yes, so, and in fact, I want to share one quick idea, because a lot of folks think that this is kind of woo-woo physics if you're a scientist, or they think it's non-traditional teachings if you're from the religious perspective. But really what it comes down to is magnetics, and this idea of the law of attraction is a very powerful concept. But from my perspective, I know that as you go into a particular area, I can sense whether that area is in balance or not. This is why we have great natural refuge in, like in national parks. And, we want to go to recreation. We want to recreate ourselves. We go back to nature. We go camping. We go out in the wilderness. The reason is because we're sensing the magnetic signature of that particular piece of ground is in balance. This, again, is with the sacred sites. They knew that if they created these structures, they would literally attract the magnetic signature that they wanted for that area. This would keep not only the vegetation and animals, but also the human beings in balance. This would be like a huge magnet that everyone was resonating towards, for example, like the Great Pyramids. And without getting too much more into that, but it follows the old axiom, as above, so below, as within, so without. And the point is that when we deplete our natural resources, we destroy the magnetic signature. It'd be like corrupting the hard drive in your computer and getting a system failure all the time. And the important thing is, when you boost your immune system, then you're changing or optimizing your magnetic signature to what it should be if you were deeply in nature. That's why we have to do this if we live in the city, for example. If we were more in tune with the wilderness and in nature, we would have less stress, we'd have less viral and bacterial infections, because we would be in balance. And so again, it's all about wholeness and wellness and balance. But this idea of magnetics will come to the forward, I believe, and be a great godsend to all those who understand and use these magnetic healing techniques.
Yeah, and people have been catching on just to the use of some magnetic pads that put on different areas of the body. So, and then we're starting to expand that to realize, wow, the Earth has a magnetic field, and then with the electricity that we live in this planet. That's a different electromagnetic activity that is having a disruptive effect on us. But it lets people know that there is a power to this magnetism.
Well, yes, and the idea quickly here about trance, I should tie this in before our hour gets away from us. But the idea of trance, which really taps the theta brainwave, the 7.8 cycle per second brainwave, is also that of the Schumann resonance frequency. This 7.8 cycle is what the Earth naturally resonates to, from the core to the upper atmosphere, to the magnetosphere. And so when we go into trance, why the natives began to drum and dance and go through rituals that harmonized their theta brainwave with the Schumann resonance and then open up to these other dimensions, this is what they were doing. We know this for a fact now. This has been studied just exhaustively. It's just not common knowledge because it's not taught in the public school system. It's on the fringe. But once this is understood, then we know that we're always seeking balance. We're always trying to get in harmony with Earth. And if we destroy enough of our environment, then we become unbalanced. We become ill. And this is where all of it comes from, actually. If you can keep yourself in balance and quickly restore balance, again, the breathing technique that we mentioned earlier, so important. But, of course, clean water, clean air, just a clean lifestyle is the key baseline that we want to establish. But more than that, our relationships, our thoughts, our feelings, the words we use to express ourselves with one another, when those become more compassionate and more holistic, then we'll see and reap the benefits of this entire new way of relating to the world and the universe at large.
Mm. Now, hallelujah, we need that desperately. Here's our country that 1776 came forward as this shining example in human consciousness of putting forth principles that had only been dreamed of everywhere else. And here it was, the Declaration of Independence, a Bill of Rights, some of the highest spiritual things put forward for a whole civilization. And, of course, most of us are realizing that that's slipped away. As we were reminded by Jefferson, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So between taking a nap now and then and letting someone else run the show, some of that slipped away. But I guess the good news is that the idea was formed here, and we have this opportunity to grab onto this time of growth in consciousness. Use your website, johnjharper.com, for resources. Get your book. Save that money by ordering it through you, or download the e-book, whatever serves them. Learn about the bird flu. I mean, to take time to be wise about this, so that we can connect to this spiritual energy and use it to blossom through this great time of transformation.
Yes, it's an exciting time to be on the planet, isn't it? It really is. With all the chaos, I'm always reminded of the ancient Chinese saying, where there is great crisis, there's also great opportunity.
Yeah, the yin-yang.
Yes, the yin-yang. We're right back full circle to that spiral, and that yin-yang is also based on the logarithmic spiral.
Yeah, so we can, one, start at doing the best thing that we can that's free, and that's being deliberate to take advantage of that reminder of an ancient yogic breath, alternate breathing. That I'm not sure if that's listed on your website. It's
in my book.
Right, okay, so get that in the book. And begin to use that's powerful, and then to access some of these other tools so that we can raise our health level. When we're healthier, it's easier to remain in that consciousness of the opportunity. That the 91st Psalm talks about that when we connect powerfully to Spirit, that yes, 10,000 can fall at my side and 1,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me.
That's right.
That we're reminded of that we can be in the eye of the hurricane.
Yes, there's that spiral again, isn't it? We want to go to the eye of the hurricane. Yes, exactly. And I've got There's a CD that I also have available at my website called Vantage Quest 6, and that's the cutting-edge technology by a young transpersonal psychologist named Carlisle Berquist, who studied with Dr. Stan Krippner at Saybrook Institute in San Francisco. And the point is that that's what that technology is based on, that idea of being in the eye of the storm and creating this balance between the left and right hemispheres of the brain to maximize creativity and problem solving. So there's another tool. If you want to use technology, I have it available as well. But I just think this is a wonderful way to, you know, look at the world now that we're trying to balance as above, so below, as within, so without, you know. And we're coming to the center of the storm, aren't we? We're going to stay centered in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. This is just a wonderful opportunity, and I want to thank you for being a guest, and just thank Don for PBS Radio and what it's offering through my program and through all the other PBS hosts to really support people and grow their lives. I'm just honored to have this, and just to send out a great thank you to you, John, and all your work and the people you're associated with and all that I'm associated with. And on behalf of Advanced Living Radio, my website, advancedliving.com, I just want to thank you and thank all our beloved listeners and wish you and everyone out there just the most blessed and prosperous new year. So God blessing to you, John, and to all of us. And until we meet again, come in next year. Tune in for the brand new January 5th program, and we'll be carrying on with greater and fun and more good information. Until then, God bless you all, and goodbye for now.